Hello and welcome back to the Bring A Mitt podcast.
Hello.
But is it really the Bring A Mitt podcast if there's no Tom?
Well, that's a question I think we've asked before, and I think the answer is yes.
Oh. Well, to be we just sort of implied that it was fine, it was still the same. The Bring podcast, we'll call it, in his respect. In his respect, that term.
Why don't we just call it Bring Mitt? Because Tom's the A.
Okay, yeah, let's go for it. We thought we'd do a little predictions thing, partly short-term, partly long-term. The sort of thing we could write on pieces of paper, bury in a time capsule, and then sort of dig up later and embarrass ourselves or be, like, well impressed, I guess. But I think Rory's got way more, so I think we should definitely start with what you've got cooking in your predictive minds.
Okay. I assume it makes more sense to start with the stuff for this year, doesn't it?
I've got just such a mix, so I don't mind at all.
No, I will. I think I've sort of done it in a chronological order. The first one I had was Killers of a Sunflower Moon will be film of the year and will mark a late career high point for Scorsese and De Niro.
Interestingly about that, I had a similar prediction. I said it would be the most critically acclaimed. But I feel like Poor Things might be my favourite.
Really? I had something I wrote down for Poor Things. I think Poor Things is going to live in the sort of lighthouse, sort of hereditary realm of filmmaking where it won't be like that coherent, but the acting will be really good.
That's possible. That is possible. I can see that.
I like the look of it. And I also, while we're on the topic of Poor Things, I think Emma Stone will win an Oscar for Best Actress for it. It just feels like the sort of thing that will finally get her over the line for that. Mm. But I don't know, it just looks strange. And I don't know if you've seen any, the director's name, he's a Greek guy, he's called like Yorgos Lanthimos. He did Killing of a Sacred Deer, and it's just such a strange, weird film where all the characters talk to each other in like a really, I don't know how to phrase this properly, socially awkward way, I suppose. They don't feel like real people, and it makes it like a strange viewing experience. And like, I didn't find it that enjoyable. I just found it kind of interesting. And I feel like the Poor Things again might fall into that. So who knows? Okay. I think Killers of a Sunflower Moon just feels like perfect Scorsese sort of subject matter. And I don't know. I just feel like De Niro, all of this stuff, it's just going to fall into place perfectly for all of them. Like, De Niro's character feels like a De Niro character. Got DiCaprio, who, I mean, I can't remember. Has he ever given a bad performance?
No, exactly. I think that's a statement I've said this year. I think I've just genuinely never seen Leonardo do, like, even not even bad. Like, I've never seen him put in like an all right performance. He's always just, he's committed. Either the best actor on screen in any scene, or like he's just up there.
Yeah.
It's just something that's that long that I'm just concerned about. I've not watched many films that long where I thought, okay, that was fine that it was that long.
I saw a Nolan quote the other day where he said he doesn't think the problem with films these days is length, it's making them interesting. Because if you look back in history at the most like critically acclaimed and loved films, a lot of them are like 3 hours long.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's like slightly out of touch, maybe, with someone who's like so involved with film. I think that's like a little bit out of touch, because I found Oppenheimer just constantly interesting, but it was so much for free for like one big block. And I watched it again yesterday, by the way, and I understood it a lot better. Like, I had clarity there, but it was still so much for one film. I still think it should have been a limited series, like just chapters of his life, basically. But anyway, I'll read off one, even though we've got an uneven amount. This is just the most, I mean, just to kick me off, this is something I've just said before. I don't think Timothy Chalamet will ever win an Oscar.
Personally. No, I agree. I agree with that.
He got nominated once, didn't he, in 2018 for, I can't remember what it is.
Is it the one where he plays a drug addict? Is that what got nominated?
Not sure. I the title will spring out of me, but that's it. Any but okay. Yeah, no points sitting on that for too long then, if we both sort of agree.
I have Rebel Moon will be divisive and annoying, but popular like every other Snyder film.
Wait, what? Rebel what?
Rebel Moon. Have you not seen the trailer
for it? No, I haven't even really. I don't really try and indulge in trailers. I think the algorithm's worked out. I don't care for them that much.
I put it in the chat the other day. You must have just completely ignored me, which is rude.
It's just YouTube. The way they've done YouTube links on Messenger now. Like, do you remember when you used to get previews? Now you just get dead links and it looks rubbish. Mm. So it's just so unenticing, yeah.
Rebel Moon is like a Star Wars-esque sort of space opera film. Netflix put out a 3-minute 43-second teaser trailer for it the other day, which is just stupid because it's not a teaser trailer, is it? There's no teasing about it. It literally shows you the whole fucking thing.
They just line up. They just use those words. What they mean by teaser trailer is hype. Over it.
Yeah.
A teaser trailer used to be like less than a minute, guaranteed. Mm.
Yeah,
I knew that even when I wasn't involved in film as well. Like that was just obvious. Mm. Okay, let's keep going back and forth. I had a little thing last night where I was like, you know what, I could see Euphoria. You know, the next season just never coming out because it's due in like 2025 or something silly. And I tweeted about this. I said Alex Demme, who plays, you know, one of the, I know they're set to do it a little bit later in life. She'll be so much older. And I think there is so much good acting in that those, like all of those actors will be onto better things. Like better things, but like really good things. Like even Jacob Elordi, who I think was a little bit slow to get like some actual films. I think he's getting a couple now that look good. Like he'll be busy as hell. Like, but it people will have to make time for it. Like calling that many actors who actually have pedigree, like Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney and Jacob Elordi, etc., it will just be so difficult soon.
What is the reason they've given for why they've not made more quicker? Is it the strike?
It might be because of the strikes, but then also Sam Levinson is the sole writer, I thought.
Which
makes sense to me.
He's written The Idol recently as well, hasn't he?
I suppose so, yeah. I don't know.
Put his time into other things.
Yeah, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, I could see that. That would suck for you. Not so much for me, because I still haven't finished it.
Yeah, why haven't you? Anyway, yeah.
I don't know, I just can't be asked. Okay, I've already said that one. I've got like an Oscars bit here. I might as well go through all four I've got. Cillian Murphy, best actor at the Oscars. Not very controversial at all.
I can't picture the nominees in my head. That's what's making that difficult.
Well, I think it'll be. I can see Fassbender getting one for The Killer. I think DiCaprio.
But you've also got Phoenix for Napoleon, which is literally late in the year as well, which means it's just.
But I just feel. I don't know. I just feel like that Cillian Murphy is such a good performance, and it hits that sweet. I know Joaquin Phoenix will hit the same spot, but that sweet sort of historical biopic drama that the Oscars love. And I think Oppenheimer's going to get nominated for everything. It's going to be something that's remembered all year. So I think Cillian Murphy will get it. I got Scorsese, best director. De Niro, best supporting. Emma Stone, best actress. And Emily Blunt, best supporting. I'm less sure on that last one because I just couldn't think of a lot of best supporting actors for the year. Actresses.
Having rewatched Oppenheimer again, by the way, I can confirm that Emily Blunt's like amazing monologue doesn't make sense. Like she is not a rational character in the whole film. Like she's like, don't get me wrong, Emily Blunt killed it. She's not like a rational. She's like a drunkard, like impulsive, like almost like a nuisance to have in a bureaucratic situation. Where you're like she is just annoying, and then she just comes out and just calmly dismantles. Like she was probably drunk in that moment.
Yeah,
but that's like filmmaking magic stuff. That's not like. I mean, you can tell that wouldn't have been black and white. That was like a black and white inspired scene. That was just Wouldn't it be sick if like the drunk woman was just a genius for like a couple of minutes?
That yeah, realistically, she was probably dribbling on the table or something, wasn't she?
Yeah, probably. Like that, if they did it black and white, it might not have been quite as entertaining.
No.
But, yeah. Okay, Oscars. I've got more Emmy stuff, actually.
Okay.
Well, I'll go through... No, I'll go back up to that. I've got that Bob Odenkirk's going to win the Emmy, even though I don't think he should.
No, he won't. This is your... You've got this weird paranoia about this for some reason.
Because all of the attention... Because Better Call Saul and Succession... I know Better Call Saul is a more popular show because of the platforms. And all of that attention is just funneling through him.
But
the people watch Succession are like kind of like, oh, do I go Kieran? Do I go Jeremy Strong? So the votes are going to be way more divided. But for all the people that really rate Succession, the writers...
Nah. Are the Emmys voted for by critics?
I'm pretty sure they are, yeah.
And then Succession will win, because Succession is far more critically acclaimed than Better Call Saul is.
I don't know, is it?
Yes, it is, yes.
Are you Succession, sure about that?
Look it up.
Hang on, I will. But I don't think that's true. I think Better Call Saul is seriously bringing it in. I think
it is acclaimed, but Succession is talked about as like one of the best shows ever. Like, ever.
Yeah. Do you know how Better Call Saul is doing on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes?
But this isn't IMDb and...
I know, but it's a 9 out of 10 on IMDb, and it's got 98% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
But we know critic score, when it says 99%, that just means they've not given a rotten review. And IMDb, okay, 9.0 is user review, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't know how else we can measure it, really. I mean, and also the story. There's a story, which I mean, it's stupid that there's a story with award shows, but they've been snubbed on so many award shows, and this is the final season. And also the finale was really bougie, like proper film buffy. Standing ovation, all that kind of stuff. Like, so I'm so confident that Bob Odenkirk will win it.
I think you've just worked yourself up.
This is one of those like nice little time capsules that we actually be able to dig up quite soon.
True.
What was the other Emmy thing I wrote? Hang on, I've gone off it to Google that. Okay, so with the final season of The Boys, I think Anthony Stoll will finally win it. And also with Succession and Better Call Saul out of the way, like not competing that... every year. And I know he wasn't nominated because of the weird dates things. The date boundaries is so stupid. Mm. But I think like, assuming he qualifies this year, assuming he can't just be disqualified by like dates again, I think he'll just win it like easily.
Has he been nominated at all for it?
I don't even know. I actually don't know at all. He had his best season this year, didn't he?
Like this
season is better of The Boys, even was his strongest year, and it was just, it didn't qualify. But
it's a shame. He does deserve his flowers.
Anyway, you?
I've got Robert Pattinson will win an Oscar in the next 10 years. He just needs a Scorsese, Nolan or Fincher directing him. I know he's had a Nolan film before, but it was not helped by the fact that Tenet was an almost like incoherent mess at times. So I just don't think it was ever Oscar bait. I just think Pattinson, whenever I've seen him in recent films, not even recent, I'd say in the last 10 years, I've just been so wowed by him. And I think he's got range. He's weird as well. And Oscars like weird performances. Like, not too weird, but weird. Like, something different, something out of the norm. And if he does it in, like, a biopic again, something like that, if he gets a Fincher, Scorsese or Nolan directed him in that sense, I think he'll win one. He's good enough to do it, and I think he will.
I do find that he's, like, the hype around the Batman. I really remember liking it as a film, but I think it was, like, full of stuff that I will see is fixed in the later Batman films. Like, for a starter, like, his personality is nothing at the moment. Like, there's no Bruce Wayne intrigue in this first film, in my opinion. All the intrigue is just implied. It's all just assuming that there's going to be stuff. There's nothing that, like, I didn't think there was anything in that performance that made me go, I really can't wait for the next installment.
I'm less talking about that, really, to be honest, when I talk about Oscar. But if you've seen, you haven't seen Good Time, have you?
No.
Nah.
That's the one I'm missing.
That is really worth watching. And he's been in a lot of good films of late. The Lighthouse as well, he's awesome in.
Mm.
Devil All the Time, he's really good. So, yeah, he's just one of those actors that every time I see him, he puts in interesting performances. Maybe for you, bar the Batman. I quite liked him as the Batman.
I've got a few, actually, which I'll riff off because they're quite rogue and a bit like they probably won't happen, but I just thought it'd be fun. Well, actually, I don't know. They're just ambitious. I think that doesn't mean I don't think saying that they won't happen is the right. So I have a feeling that AI writing will be frowned upon for a while, but I feel like it will just be rife soon. I feel like it will just be almost the primary way of writing films. And it'll kind of be suspected and just...
Have we got any films that are AI written yet? I'm just interested. Well,
like, but how would we know?
I know. I just thought that might be the sort of thing that they have to tell. I suppose AI is probably such a grey area at the moment that you can do whatever you want with it.
I'm sure I've heard somewhere that they use AI scripts as the base and then write around it.
Yeah, that sounds like a quick way to make films, to be fair. Mm. Do you think AI scripts probably have some weird, like, it must throw up some odd language at points? So, yeah, that would make sense.
What we were going to do today, I was writing some scripts. I can't remember a lot of the examples, but it was so funny. Like some of the stuff that it was coming back with. I did something where you were scared of ginger people.
Right.
Rory Goad is scared of people with ginger coloured hair or something. And it said, and then he realised that they were nothing to be afraid of and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, actually, let's move on from that, actually. It's not that interesting. It's just, I just wouldn't be surprised. There's nothing we know nothing about how that works. So it doesn't really, I don't know if there's anything we can add to it.
It wouldn't, I'm not going to push it for too long, but surely it wouldn't, like, take away, I suppose it would take away some jobs from screenwriters, but at least there'd still be the point where they have to go over it and readjust it and make it fit for human consumption if AI scripts are so strange, like you say.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it will get better, won't it? Like, it will just get better.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I also actually had a bonus, which I'll save for later, but I had a thing about saying Tom Cruise will never retire acting.
No, I wrote down Tom Cruise will age. So it's different, but I had a Tom Cruise one. Sorry, no way, carry on.
That's very different.
Yeah, I did. It was kind of a jokey one. He still kind of looks the same as he did when he was 30 years old. I don't get how he's done it. I want to know what he rubs on his face.
I was thinking, the way I was thinking, I didn't want to write it as is. I was thinking he might just die doing one of his stunts one day. I think he might just keep going and do some stunts that like are just too much for him, and he might just die on set one day.
You know, he's...
I think that'll happen before he retires acting, or he might just, like, have something happen that's so fatal he, like, just dies in a hospital or something.
You know, he's filming in space soon.
No, I didn't know that.
They're adding, like, an entertainment wing to the International Space Station, and he signed on to make films up there. So he'll be filming, actually, up in space, which is interesting. That could be his death. Maybe he'll get blown out the side of the ship.
He does care a lot about safety, though. Everyone's seen that clip online of him shouting about safety.
Yeah.
Being paramount, of paramount importance. Go on. Anyway.
He's very American, isn't he?
Do you want to select, like, your best ones?
Sure.
Go through them, or you can reel off some.
I mean, I've got four left, so it'll be fine.
How on earth was that? Okay, carry on.
Okay. House of the Dragon will trump Game of Thrones simply by not outstaying its welcome. I have.
Oh, that is controversial.
I don't think it is. I think they've ruined the end of Game of Thrones, like we both know. And I don't think House of the Dragons had like a slip up yet, personally. Mm. Also, what will help it is, I'm pretty sure after season two, they're changing the timeline and changing the characters to something else. It's going to be like an anthology sort of series. Mm. So, like I say, it won't outstay its welcome, and there's less chance of people being disappointed because it's only two seasons long. So yeah, they've got more of a chance to bring in a different range of characters and not piss people off as much. And I loved the first season. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I really liked the first season.
It had the original Game of Thrones magic. And I just feel like we're moving into, obviously, it makes sense because we're moving from season one to season two. But the excitement at the end of season one, where we know we're actually getting like the battle between families now for season two, it's got the same sort of hype behind it. So, yeah, very excited for that.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in the actors as well.
Yeah, it's a great cast.
Yeah.
Do you know who I think doesn't get his flowers as much as the others should, as much as the others do? What's his name? Reese Ifans, the guy who plays Otto Hightower. I thought he was excellent throughout that whole series. Plays such a good nefarious villain.
Yeah, well, I don't know how involved he is in the rest of the plot, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I thought he gives me Gary Oldman vibes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The creepiness.
Strange. But anyway, what else have I got? I think I had I don't know why I even thought this. I said almost half of all films will be animated soon, even if it doesn't last. Because I think it's just proved to be the most profitable way to make a film now.
What's the time scale on this, though? Are we saying 10 years like we did in the chat?
No time scale, really. Just saying, like, sort of one or two... Like, in one or two years, four or a few years, maybe then it dies back out again. But at some point, I feel like animated films soon will just be... Everyone will, like, clock on to the fact that there are just so many qualified animators out there. Everyone loves it at the moment, and it's cheaper than live action with effects.
But I don't know if I agree with that, because you've seen so many animated films this year that I feel like half the film going population haven't seen, and that have probably bombed.
It was still shift though, wasn't it? Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like that. Yeah, I don't know how well that's doing, but I know it wasn't like extraordinary. I mean, what was it Across the Spider-Verse? Like, what was the budget? Like, was it less than 100 million or 100 million?
Not sure. They are helped by they're helped by the fact that they can overwork animators and not pay them properly, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. But, like, was Across the Spider-Verse one of those instances?
Yeah, there was quite a lot of stuff came out about how the animators had worked, like, 60-hour weeks for, like, 8 weeks or something like that.
Oof. Yeah, okay. Yeah, anyway.
Okay, right. My next one. Netflix will die as it loses more and more content to other streamers. I just think, from what I've seen, most other platforms have better content than Netflix now. And they're trying to raise their price. And I just feel like it's going to get worse and worse. And they're buying weird IP like Rebel Moon for Snyder. They've got massive deals with like Adam Sandler and people like that. It's just like it's a platform that's on its knees, and they make odd decisions all the time. They've been in debt for years. I just can't see it surviving personally.
But then people first, like there's plenty of opposition there. And first of it is that people are creatures of habit, and Netflix was the first streaming platform that anyone had. And then like people will always kind of come back to it. Second of all, is Netflix originals, like they are still coming out thick and fast, and people are paying attention to them.
Yeah, but are the new ones getting as much hype? Like, I feel Sex Education's ending, and that's a big one.
But Sex Education's still, not new, but it's not it was part of, like, the most recent wave of TV shows that's now ending.
But then, what else am I trying to think? What else am I thinking of? Better Call Saul was a Netflix original. That's done. You, one more season, will be done. The Witcher has got worse and is losing Henry Cavill because of strange right decisions. I just think they're making bad decisions over and over again. Yeah.
I don't think it's like a sickness though. I think it's not. It's something that could just easily pivot.
Suppose. And
suddenly they've got like a few good ones. It's not like form.
Have you seen though that Netflix have been in like mega massive debt for years and years and have just. The way they've tried to fix it is by spending more money on Netflix originals. So, like I say, if they get new ones coming out like this Snyder's Rebel Moon and other stuff that just
out though.
Yeah, I suppose.
Do you not just see like Sky just buying them out or something, and then they're just the same thing?
But then surely Netflix would just be added to Now TV rather than being called Netflix.
Well, I don't know. They offer different things, and like if you add it to Now TV, then suddenly like I don't know, like you lose an audience if you make it just one thing, don't you? That's why parent companies keep the other companies, is because that is
okay.
An audience, and you can
maybe. Maybe I'll change my statement. I don't think Netflix survives as it is currently.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I probably agree with that. I've only got one more, and it's a bonus. I've said, which franchise do you think will be the first to break the $100 million mark for one episode?
Wait, what?
And by the way, the highest at the moment is Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, which, by the way, no one watched. I mean, beyond like the absolute minimum expected for a Lord of the Rings production.
How much did that episode cost exactly?
Okay, you know what? I'll give you the lead up. I'll give you third and second, and you see if you can guess, because it's more interesting that way. So Marvel series on, I think this is the average, maybe $25 million per episode.
Right.
Stranger Things, $30 million per episode.
Wow.
But then I'd agree that Stranger Things look way better than Marvel.
Mm.
And then, so Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, what do you reckon, roughly?
I know it was like over a $1 billion series, and there was 10 million. 10 million? there was 10 episodes, I think. But you said none have broken 100 million, so that can't be right. I'd say like 40 million, maybe 50 million.
$58 million.
Yeah, that's mad.
So it's, you know, almost double the second.
I assume that's for a big battle episode of some sort.
I don't know. There was a Balrog, apparently. I'd lost interest by like the third episode. You know, when you're watching a TV series, especially if it's like big and not, like at the moment, that's Severance for me. I'm sort of enjoying it, but I know a lot of the reason people like it is because of how it's like how the mystery develops. And I haven't got to that point where it's that intriguing yet. It's kind of just interesting. But like there's something like that I watched because I sort of had to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just wasn't interesting. Like they delve right into, what do they call them? They call it something instead of hobbits because they didn't have the rights to it or something.
They're like halflings or something. Yeah, like that.
No, it wasn't even halfling. Halflings would have done fine for me because that's how I like, you know, that word is just synonymous with it.
Yeah.
They were so boring, honestly. that storyline was so boring, like just overly pleasant. And they go, oh, we do go from one place to another. We never stop. Like, it's just really not that, like,
hot.
There was
there
some
go.
Cool.
There was they're some hot, cool, like, they're Harfoots. Sorry, I just Harfoots. Had to look
okay, right. There was some cool back. I actually thought it was going to be really good because the first episode, it started off really cool. It was like Galadriel was like cutting up some orcs. And near the end, there was quite a nice little cliffhanger for what had been quite an uneventful first episode. But then it just got really, really boring. It had like similar plot, like a human, like just one of those weird love interests where it's like, will they, won't they? But it's so obvious they will, even though there's nothing happening between them. Just because it's a guy and a girl on screen. Like they give just enough to say, yeah, this is definitely happening at some point, by the way. Like just really, really boring plot lines. It's almost sad, really. Like, and also like sets that were just so heavily, like you could tell it's just all rendered. Like big sets where they're like, it wasn't like a model like they did in like the originals where they just built something and made it look like it was just this actual huge landscape.
That is sad, isn't it? Because Peter Jackson built that series on the back of quite a lot of physical effects, I think.
Yeah, and it was way cheaper as well, even with inflation.
They look great. They still look pretty good today, which is impressive for a film from 2003, 2002, whatever.
I'm just trying to work out the budget of the Return of the King, for instance. Yeah, 100 million, like, for Return of the King.
It's madness.
Which is just like...
I mean, is that adjusted for inflation, though?
I'm not sure. Even if it isn't, like, it's not going to be much more, is it? Like, when we're talking those numbers.
Yeah.
Like, inflation is, I mean, it's not like football. It's like, inflation has probably gone up, like, by 0.4 or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it'll be more than that. But either way, it won't be anywhere near Rings of Power. So.
No, not even close. Well, you can make three episodes. So from what I've watched of Rings of Power, which is about three episodes, you could, with that budget, you could remake the whole Lord of the Rings again. Or actually, no, you could remake that film, Return of the King.
That is mad. Which is,
yeah. But yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I've got DC will overtake Marvel in terms of quality. I don't think that's that out there. Marvel have had probably their most interesting director taken by DC, who's now overseeing the whole thing.
It comes across to me like swings and roundabouts, except for the fact that Marvel is just known for having better, more interesting characters.
Yeah, but then I feel like James Gunn is pretty good at making characters that are deemed uninteresting interesting. Like if you look at Suicide Squad, who was going to give a shit about Polka Dot Man until he put him in there, made him funny? And I think he'll focus on the big characters as well. I feel like that would be
coming back from a huge deficit. I'm not saying that means it won't happen. I'm saying like that would be embarrassing.
Well, it will. But then look at Marvel. How many films that they're bringing out are that interesting now? We were excited.
So depressing, honestly.
We were excited for Guardians, weren't we? That's about it.
Yeah, because you knew the Guardians couldn't be bad. Exactly. If they made it bad, it would be so interesting. It would be like the fallout from a Guardians film being bad would be so interesting that I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
Like all of the anger online would have been so entertaining that I went into that not caring if it was good or not.
Yeah.
Even though it was good in the end. But it also wasn't amazing. That's the thing. Like people were saying it was better than one, and it just no way was it better than one.
No way in hell
it was better than one.
It wasn't better than one, but it was a good send off, which is just what it needed, really.
People are so reactive though. Like all of these new films. Oh, this is more of a rant now. All of these new films, and I do think there's nostalgia bias as well. I think nostalgia bias is way more powerful than anything else, but. When new films come out and people are sort of sniffing at the 4.5, 5 out of 5 area, people just can't help but try and say like it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
People really want to say like all these like huge superlatives. They really can't help themselves, I find.
Yeah, like, I'm with you there.
I don't know if Oppenheimer counts because I think with you, you've decided again, second time, that you like think it's still like a 5 out of 5. But I know there's a lot of people that will say a 5 out of 5 coming out of the cinema that will put it like 5th or 6th in their Nolan list.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, that kind of does make sense because Nolan does have a lot of films that people will deem 5 out of 5, though, don't they?
Yeah, it's maybe not the best example for that reason. But I mean, just in general, like there's a lot of just think people just really like to say that.
They're caught up in the hype, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Barbie.
Have you got any more?
I've got one more.
Okay, go for it.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck will be held in as high a regard as filmmakers as Fincher in 10 years' time. See,
I've
I think
heard
that...
this before. Is it from you?
I don't know. Maybe it was from Tom.
Oh, okay. Because they're making a production company, aren't they?
They are.
Sort of sharing the fruits.
And it's interesting. They're sort of greenlighting just random people's scripts that they find interesting, tighten them up. So that they're like presentable to bigger companies and then still giving the writers credit. I think it's really cool.
That's a good, I mean, I was just about to say that's a good idea, but then the part of me thinks, hang on, if they plump them up too much, then are people going to hire these writers based on scripts that they didn't perfect?
Well, it's interesting because with Air, it was a guy's script that they both helped to make more palatable to a wider audience or whatever.
They
weren't
that script though.
I know, but they weren't going to tell anyone about that, were they? And then the screenwriter from that came out and said it. Like they were just going to give the guy his props and let him go on and be a screenwriter. So if that's like a sort of method and ideology they're pushing on with for their company, I can only see it being a good thing.
Well, there's definitely, I don't know, merit like this. There's like concerns with meritocracy and all that kind of, like, I mean, do they now get jobs that they don't deserve?
I suppose
if their writing wasn't up to scratch.
Yeah, we don't really know what the script was like originally, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, fact, they didn't feel comfortable taking that credit.
Yeah. I think it's cool, though, that they're going to give, like, unknown screenwriters chances. And, I mean, obviously, there could be scripts. That's only one script. There could be scripts that are more up their alley that they think, okay, yeah, we can just use this. I just feel like that partnership is so effective every time it's used. What did we watch The Last Duel? They're both in that. They didn't direct it.
Oh, but... you know what I saw? Someone was saying that their biopic will be like amazing. That's what made me think prompted it. Yeah, what did he do in the last? Oh, he was the guy who was like overseeing the fight, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I mean, it's not his best role ever, to be honest. I probably shouldn't have picked that out.
It's one of those films. I was thinking about this while I was watching Oppenheimer. I was thinking of, like, I need to start grading films a bit like, you know, like how grade boundaries are written. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a territory thing rather than just going, does it get there? Yeah, it gets there. It's like a territory thing. So, like, the 4 and the 4.5s and the 5s, they should be films that, like, instantly make you feel like, oh, this is like you, this is pushing me, this is unique. Mm-hmm. And, like, anything that falls under just sort of, oh, enjoyable. Oh, it's slightly enjoyable. That's like maximum cap at 4. Even if it's so realistically, something like Bullet Train, I feel like it was just unique and funny enough to maybe creep into the high marks.
But yeah, it shouldn't have been a 5 sort
of film. No, I don't think it should have been a 5. I think back to it, I'd have gone 4.
Yeah, that's
true. I was so hyped coming out of the cinema because I was thinking, that was just one of the best experiences I had at the cinema because it was just all encompassing. It was just interesting. It was fast paced. That's exactly what I needed, I think. But yeah. Anyway, yeah. Should we call it there?
Yeah, we can do. Yeah,
thank you for coming to the Bringer podcast.
Cheers. Thanks.
I was going to say you might have to end it.
Oh right. Okay. Right. Bye guys.
Bye.
I have the power.